Welcome to You Are Invited, a podcast hosted by Dr. Dale Dan, where we celebrate diversity and invite everyone to share their own stories with the world. Here at Lansing Community College, we believe every voice matters. Dr. Dan and the Office of Empowerment want you, our LCC community, to be part of the conversation. Join us, share your experience, and help us build an inclusive community where everyone is heard.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Magnolia and Lucas, I hope you know why you're here with us today, because you are absolutely amazing. I've had the opportunity of meeting with each one of you. Oh my goodness, you have left indelibly written on my mind the words that you shared from the hearts that you shared it, and made me think, wow, I can't just be the only listener. I'm sure there's so many out there who can be blessed, can be encouraged by who you are and your life's journey. So that's why you're here today. I feel extremely honored to have you both. So let's get started. How exciting. First question is, tell us a little bit about yourself, very briefly, your full name, location, and some about your current work. Lucas.
I'm Lucas Van Dyne. I'm a full-time English professor at LCC. I was born and raised in a small town in Illinois and spent most of my life in Chicago, and moved here a couple of years ago for this job. Happy to be here.
So glad to have you at LCC.
Yeah, thanks.
Amazing difference you're making. Magnolia?
I am Magnolia Larcón. I am from Guadalajara, Jalisco in Mexico, and I currently live in Knoxville, where I am a student in Hispanic Studies at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville.
Thank you. And from the little I've heard about you two, Magnolia, amazing the difference you're making at UTK. Thank you so much. All right, so let's get into some of these fun questions. Lucas, were there any childhood memories or moments that now looking back feel significant in understanding your identity?
Yeah, probably looking back on it in my late 30s, I can't really understand why, but mm-hmm. I didn't really like adult men mm-hmm. as a kid. Mm-hmm. I was always kind of pushed from them and kind of gravitated towards mm-hmm. women and mm-hmm. girls. Mm-hmm. And then that just kind of, as I got older and started making friends, as a gay boy, girls were always the more mm-hmm. accepting. So I kind of felt like that was, looking back on it, kind of made sense. But
thank you for sharing that. How did your family respond early or later to your identity?
Overall, very positively. The most negative remark was from my dad, who was, and I quote, not very happy with it, but it's okay. So my family was always very supportive, and I'm grateful for that. And I understand and appreciate that folks don't always have that experience. But I was met with some pretty resounding support for the most part.
That's amazing, because I think we all will agree we need that community. We need that support.
Absolutely.
Thanks for sharing. Magnolia, I'm going to repeat it for you. Were there any childhood memories or moments that now looking back feel significant in understanding your identity?
I became aware at a young age that I didn't fit the boy category mm-hmm. because kids at school or my parents would make me aware of my own behavior by pointing out when and how I was behaving differently. And at school, that was a motive for kids to say mean stuff to me or mm-hmm. to make fun of me. Mm-hmm. And at home, that was something that should not be at all. So my parents would scold me or tell me how to behave, mm-hmm. how I should dress, and how I should look like, and all to be more boy-like.
Yes, yes. And same for you. How did your family respond early or later to your identity?
So my parents, I was in the U.S. when I told them, and it mm-hmm. was over the mm-hmm. phone. So I didn't experience the reaction in person, and in real time, it was just over the phone. But I told my mom, and she told my dad. And I know by conversations that I've had with them later on in my life,
yes,
they didn't take it positively like, I know that they weren't talking to each other for like a month. I guess they were processing everything that they already knew. But then again, when I was 17, I came out as a gay person. But then at the age of 29, when I had already come to terms with my gender identity, I guess I came out again.
Yes.
And that happened over the phone again. And I told my dad first, and he wasn't happy about it. I could sense fear in his voice of what my living experience was going to be like as a trans person. But of course, like, I had a conversation with him and he expressed his love and support for me. And it's then when I talked to my mom, she asked me not to go back home again. And then she talked to my dad and they, I guess they had a conversation. And then the next day she called me and she apologized for asking me not to go back home. And she also expressed her love and support.
I'm glad to hear that. It seems it was a little tough at the beginning, but they worked it through with you. And that's so important. And it seemed you were patient through the process, knowing that they needed that time. Thanks for sharing.
Yes, yes.
All right. So back to you, Lucas. So what kinds of support or lack thereof did you receive from friends during pivotal moments?
Growing up and spending like my formative years in the inner city was very helpful. So I had a pretty big support network at high school. And, you know, so coming out as, you know, bisexual and then, you know, as gay, I had a lot of support around that. There was no real lack of support anywhere.
That's tremendous. You got that both from the family and from friends, right? That's absolutely amazing. Yeah. What about you, Magnolia? What kinds of support or lack of did you receive from friends during major periods of your life?
I guess generally I have received support, and this translates into people allowing me to sleep in their houses and also talking to me about what could my life in the future would look like, speaking from the times that I had to express who I am.
Yes.
But I also have experienced people stepping out of my life because they couldn't really understand.
Yes.
And they just decided to leave. So it's been, it's been a mixture of both, but generally people have been very supportive.
Again, I'm really, really glad to hear that. Lucas, it seems you had strong from both sides, family and friends.
Yeah.
Magnolia, a little rough here and there, but for the most part, there were persons in your life and a community that you could have depended on. Lucas, even though you had that support internally and externally, what internal battles have you faced on this journey?
Always question myself whether I was the person, and as much as, you know, we like to say we don't care what others think, I mean, we do to some extent, and, you know, I was always worried, am I the person that folks think I am? I've always worried about being able to, and I understand that this is a privilege, but being able to sort of pass for straight. Just for if I needed to in any situation. I guess a lot of that is internally has revolved around if I'm either good enough or quote unquote like masculine enough.
Yeah.
I used to think those things were, you know, very important with, you know, conservative parents, but not anymore. I mean, that's, you know, but not been the case for some decades, but.
Would you say it just got better over time? The time was the solution?
Yeah, I mean, time and just growing into myself as an adult and just becoming self-aware.
Understanding and accepting. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
Magnolia, you too. I know you've had a mix of some support, not some support. But what were those internal battles that you faced?
Definitely deconstructing the prejudices that society has implanted in me so that I could, I guess, live really or allow myself to express myself both as in gender identity terms and also, I guess, my physical appearance. And just understanding that people will have different ways of expressing their identities. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I can see that. Lucas, did you have language or role models to understand your experience back then when this all first started?
Peripherally, yes. Mm-hmm. I had, you know, my mom was, she was in school for music. So she went to a fine arts school downtown Chicago. So she had a lot of gay friends, yes, of course. Yes. So she would have parties at home and, you know, I would meet all of her friends. And so I would sort of see, you know, adult gay people.
Yes.
So I sort of had that to look at, not emulate, but see that it was actually something that was out there. And
you're not alone.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Thank you so much. Magnolia, same for you. Did you have language or role models to understand your experience back then?
I didn't. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't know anybody that, yes, identified as gay or as a trans person, nor school instructed in these matters. So therefore, back then, I understood gender identity and sexual attraction as the same thing. Mm-hmm. And with that limited view as the basis, yes, I thought that I was a person attracted to the same sex,
yes,
which we would understand as a gay person. Mm-hmm. And coming from that, I thought that everyone that felt that way were also battling with the internal identity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That obviously changed when I started learning more language about it.
Yes, I can understand that. For now, though, moving away from family, community for a little bit, and friends, I want to focus on each one of you. Because as I said, you're here today because I'm absolutely impressed with both of you, what you've gone through, who you are today. I feel privileged to be a part of your lives. So, Lucas, what does your identity mean to you? I'm very interested in that.
Mm. Well, it's a loaded question, a lot. One of the things that I noticed when I was applying for a job here was that there was no gay or gay adjacent club that had apparently been disbanded. So that was one of my big things when I was interviewing here. So I guess it's like the gay part of my identity. It's not my entire personality, yes, but yes, I do... I'm proud of it, and I do try to use it to my advantage when I can. And I've been thinking about how to answer this, and I've not come up with a good way.
Okay.
So, I could kind of go on about what my identity means to me and how it's shifted over the years, but being able to accept myself has also allowed me to accept and love others.
Yes.
So
yes,
that's been really big.
Well, for someone who didn't think he could answer the question, you did a great job with it. And would you say from the time you interviewed to now, do you feel there's more awareness or acceptance for gay students at LCC?
It was only 2 years ago, so I feel like the institution does support LGBTQ folks.
Yes. So. Glad to hear. You and I have talked through the Office of Empowerment. Yeah. We value every human being,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You're a star.
Thank you.
So as we have shared with you, we're going to be making more and more efforts to be sure there's a high level of inclusivity. Magnolia, you too. What does your identity mean to you personally?
It is liberation.
Yeah.
In order to explore me internally and allowing myself to do things and also to have a sense of independence.
Yes, yes. Really, really important having that freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Love both of your answers. The other question I wanted to focus on is what misconceptions about your identity would you like to address, Lucas?
I don't know. I get where we don't all like the same things. If I could, I guess, circle back to one of the questions earlier, I realized that, you know, I always felt like I wasn't gay enough for the gays or straight enough for the straight crowd.
Straight, yes.
I'm not someone that likes to go to clubs. I'm not into a lot of the popular music that a lot of my gay friends are. It's more of like older rock stuff. So it's really just interesting. I guess we don't all like the same things. We're not homogenous.
Yes.
You know, we're not all... I don't know how the word to describe it. We're not all predators, I guess.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of people think that gay folks are predators to some extent, and that's definitely a myth.
No, thanks for sharing that. Thank you so much. Same for you, Magnolia. What myths or preconceptions about your identity would you like to address?
People tend to think that trans women, just because identifying with femininity, trans folks have to, at least from my perspective as a trans woman, that I have to hyper-feminize my expression, whereas I'm just another person.
Yes.
So the fact that I don't feel the need to hyper-feminize my mannerisms or the way that I dress, that doesn't make me any less of a woman.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that. You're both in the education arena, right? And we have lots of young students on campus, some who may question or struggle with maybe being gay or transgender or so on. What would you say, Lucas, to a young person who just doesn't know what to do with it? You know, should they hide? Should they come out? What would be your advice?
Well, coming out in certain contexts can be dangerous. I'm speaking people that can't see me. Yes. I am a white man. I look like a straight conservative white man. So I can say this comfortably, but I understand that folks can't always do this. Lean into yourself and be yourself when you're comfortable being so. You know, I would say don't forsake parts of your personality or your happiness to make others around you comfortable. You know, don't be quiet to make other people comfortable, but also keep yourself safe.
Thank you. Good advice. Magnolia, what about you? What would be your word of advice?
That whoever you know you're inside, you should accept that and shouldn't limit yourself to feel the way that you feel. But of course, if you are not in a safe environment, it's up to you to what extent you can express the person that you are. It is definitely necessary to be in a safe environment in order for you to fully be yourself. So I guess first, accept yourself, but also understand that you need to be in a safe environment in order to express yourself.
Yeah, good advice. I'm learning just listening to both of you today. It's really, really important for me to leave these few things with you. And in your own words, Lucas, just lean into yourself. Just be yourself, right? Magnolia, love when you said, don't limit yourself, right? I want you to believe with all your hearts, as I do, that in this world today of 8+ billion people, there's no second Lucas. There's no second Magnolia. You fill a space that nobody else fills, and no one can fill it as well as you do. So be confident. If you're not wrong, we have lost a major piece of life's puzzle. Stand strong in that. Stand very strong in that. When you wake in the mornings, remember, I'm stepping out today to make a mark that no human being can make. And I also hope that as you both look into the mirror, that you see what I see. Two amazing persons. And I really can't emphasize it enough. I feel really honored and privileged that you would have spent time with me, whether on WebEx or in my office. I tell you honestly, Lucas, after our first conversation, I remember leaving the campus feeling such encouragement that there's a human being who believes in who he is, and who's confident, you know. And Magnolia, not only I've heard a lot of positive things about you, but when I met you as well, it was a wow for me, right? Now, having said all that we've said, I know at times it's not easy. But it's important also that you understand, I can't think of one single human being on this earth that is perfect. So let no one make you feel less than the amazing person that you are. So I really, really want to thank both of you. And just wondering, are there any final thoughts that you'd like to leave with us, especially with all that's happening and spinning around us? Is there anything you'd like to say to an audience listening to you today? Any final words?
Keep yourself safe.
Yeah. And that these kind of spaces are very necessary in these times, because then it allows for, yeah, like experiences and information to spread when being outside is not as safe.
Yes.
To do so.
Okay, so keep being who you are, continuing to share words of encouragement with others. I don't have to tell, I've told you before, but it doesn't hurt to say again, love you both very, very much.
Love you as well, Dr. Dan.
And you know that I'm here for you. And thank you for touching my life and helping me to see further.
This concludes today's episode of You Are Invited, hosted by Dr. Dale Dan. We hope this episode inspired you to reflect on your own experiences and share them with us. For additional resources on diversity and inclusion, visit us at lcc.edu/empowerment. We'd also love to hear your thoughts. Send your comments or questions to youareinvited@star.lcc.edu. Your voice helps shape future conversations. Let's keep building a stronger, more inclusive community together.